Why don't you grab your Bibles while you're standing there and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 today with me. If you would stand in honor of the reading of the Word. We're in our series, Homework, and this is the last teaching I'm going to be doing in Homework. Next week, I'm starting a brand new series. We are starting a brand new series. It's called On Purpose. And it's talking about pursuing your purpose on purpose. There are too many people frustrated, too many people that are not fulfilling what God has called them and designed them to be. What is your purpose? And you got to pursue it with intentional purpose. Be purposeful in fulfilling your purpose. We'll start a new series next week. So I hope y'all have enjoyed homework. How many of you have enjoyed homework? It has blessed my soul because it's not just talking with family. It deals with so many issues because we see our nation, our families are a microcosm of the nation. But we see that God tells us that our home will work when we do our homework spiritually. And that's what we've been doing. So last week we talked about this phrase. We said this, the family succeeds when the family loves God first and love God's most. Sometimes you can have God at the top of the pyramid and you really don't have him at the top of the pyramid and other things can become God. You know those things become God when they are threatened. That's why we get so angry and frustrated and depressed. It's because that thing has become God over God. That was a great message. So let's go back to God's instructions to Moses as they prepare Israel to cross into the promised land and to make sure that that nation remained under the authority of God, whereby the blessings would flow to the family and the individual. So let's look at this text as we go to the last teaching today in this series. He said, listen, hey, can you all see that up on the screens real good up there? How about we read it out loud? There's something about the power of reading something out loud, okay? Everybody in the balconies, galleries, let's say it out loud. Ready? Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Look at your neighbor and say, let's obey and stay blessed. Amen. Come on, let's obey and stay blessed. You can be seated in the house of God. Thank you. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength. How do you command somebody to love you? If I could have commanded Brenda to love me, I'd have married her on the second date. And I'm telling you, it doesn't work when I look at her and say, I command you to love me. How many know that just doesn't work? Amen? Because when we talk about this kind of love that God's talking about, this love, it's not a feeling. Because how many know you cannot command your feelings? How many have ever not felt like you were in love with that person you married? Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. I'm not asking for a confession, please. Things are going good with the two of you right now. Don't do it. Amen. But what this is when he says he commanded them to love the Lord your God, what this is, it's a surrender of yourself to choose with an act of your will to bring yourself under to love God. That I take my will and I choose to surrender it to Brenda. It's an act of my will, not an act of my feeling. So this is why God tells them to love the Lord your God. Your love for God is reflected in your love for your family. Last week, some people kind of wigged out because they said, I told them, there's no scripture in the Bible that tells you that you are to make your family number one. And you can't find it. I can't make Brenda my number one. I can't make you my number one. Can't do it. You can't do it. But see, what he's teaching here is that if I love God first and most and I obey him, it's going to reflect in my love for her, my love for people, my kids, my love for people I don't know, even if they hate me and what I teach. I'm going to love them. How many know that's a whole new level of the gospel right there? So Deuteronomy teaches us to love God with everything in you, and then watch this. With that, it starts being reproduced in the people around you, including your children, and it starts changing neighborhoods, school systems, cities, states. It changes everything. Remember, the nation is a big picture of what's happening in the families across this country. It will affect communities and it'll affect cultures. How many know, friends, God needs you and me and our family to be that. So how do I love God? If you can't command it because it's not a feeling. So how do I love God, Pastor? What's some ways? So let's talk about a couple of ways on how you love God. The first, I'm just going to give you three things real quick here. The first thing that you need to realize is that you got to love God through your schedule. Your schedule. I cannot tell you how proud I am of you as a church, especially dads who are leading families, single moms that are leading families, that you came to the house of God, you sat your family down this morning at the online campus and said, we are giving our time and our schedule to God. So let me show you another way that you spell love. You ready? This is how you, this is another way to spell love. T-I-M-E. People says it's not the quantity of time, it's the quality of time. You're not going to develop any quality in any relationship you ever have if you don't invest the time in it. I know that sounds, it's a really great line, but you've got to put time in it into people's lives. But here's the point. God says, see, I know a lot of people giving time to their families. I know a lot of people giving time to their children. A lot of people giving time to their job. But the first place you got to love God is to love God in your schedule, in your time. That means I'm going to give every day, every day. Everybody say every day. I'm going to give it to God every day, and it'll outflow to everyone else. In fact, let me just say this. The greatest thing you can do as a spouse, the greatest thing you can do as a spouse to bless your spouse is to spend time with God every day. Every day. The greatest thing you can do for your kids, Dad, you say, I want to make sure my kids get in the right neighborhood. I want to make sure they get in the right school system. I want to make sure they get the right clothes so they don't, so they can fit in with their friends. No, I'm telling you, that's wonderful. Those are good things to aspire to. But the greatest thing you can do for your son, your daughter, is that you spend time with God as a mom or dad. The greatest thing you will ever do is that. So can I just give you something simple? It's this is really not rocket science. It's just put God in your schedule. Just start having have a devotional with your family. Just a family devotional. Go through it. If you haven't gotten on our Right Now Media as you attend this church, Right Now Media has tons of stuff age appropriate for every age group that you can do devotions, and it's free because we've already paid for it. It's already paid for it. And some people never, they don't give time for God. The reason why maybe the fracture in the relationship, in the marriage, or with other people could be a direct correlation to not putting God in your schedule. Take a simple you version, and there's all kinds of devotionals on there. Start spending time with God. I remember when I started the year talking about 20 and 20. You remember that? Just four simple things. Just silence your soul. Tell your soul to shut up. And give God 20 minutes of your day, just 20 minutes somewhere in your pickups, in your car, out in the backyard, at a park. Just give God 20. Silence your soul. Tell your soul to be quiet. You're going to sit down and listen to God. Then when you get out there, start singing your song. I know we sing these good songs here. How many of you love the worship that happens here? We love the good songs. Amen? But sometimes I want you to get so caught up with God, you sing your song. Make one up. Sing it. You say, I sing horrible. We know that already. We can hear you, but you're not singing for us. You're singing for him, and he loves it. Sing your song, and then we get done singing your song. 20 and 20, then start supplicating over your stress. Are you angry? Are you mad? Are you ticked off at your job? Do you hate what's happening in your marriage? Then you spill your guts before God and start pouring it out to him. God, this is what's stressing me in my life, and have supplication over it. And then fourthly, you soak up scriptures. You get your Bible out. You get a scripture out. You have a devotional. Maybe something sticks out to you. Get your journal out and start writing down what God said to you. Just take time for God. Personally, take time for God. Take care of you by taking care of your time with God. It reflects every other thing. Take time for the Lord's Day. Now, I'm going to tell you, those of you watching online and those of you in this house, I'm going to tell you something. You gave God time to be in his house. And I think we ought to praise God that we have the ability to be here in this house and be online and thank God we're here together and the discipline that we're seeing in the house of God. But let me tell you, some Sunday morning worshipers is not really what God's after, though. That's really not what he's after. Because I meet some Christians, there are baptized pagans all over America right now. I said there are baptized pagans in churches all over America right now. Because he's just not looking for you to take a stroke of the pen on the religious checkbox that I went to church. Because there's some Christians that have this mentality that they've done all they need to do just getting their kids and them in church on Sunday. And now they feel like they got to be rewarded just because they showed up at church, watched online. You know, that's like telling a soldier you get the Medal of Honor for showing up to breakfast this morning. Let that sink in for a minute. Come on, how many of you know what God is not after is not just people showing up. What God is truly after is not after your attendance. He's after your affection. And that affection is spelled T-I-M-E. I give my time to God. And it reflects in every other dimension. Because how many know that when you're coming to church or you're in a small group or you go to Celebrate Recovery, even online, when you get in a group, how many know really what that is church time is really grow time in God. It's grow time in God. And it's not just coming to church and having daily fellowship with the Lord and coming to church and being online and in small groups, but how many know what's happening is not just the vertical relationship with God, it's the horizontal relationship with others that God puts in his family. You remember that? Come on, look what Jesus said to the lawyer who's trying to trip Jesus up because these teachers of the law had so many rules they put on top of God's commands and teaching. You knew that about the Pharisees, right? They added 618 other rules on top of what God said, rules nobody could keep. 618 spirit of religion rules. 618. Most people can't even remember the Ten Commandments, and you're going to give them 618? He asked Jesus, what's the greatest command? Now watch this. Jesus summed it up. Matthew 22, 37. He says, Jesus replied. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your what, everybody? Heart. With all your what? Soul. With all your mind. Interesting that came from the text that God's instruction was to Moses to all the people before that. Watch this. This is the first and the greatest command. He makes it real simple. Watch this. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands. It's the first time that these two commands were ever joined together. He is saying your love for God is reflected in how you treat your neighbor. Well, who's my neighbor? It's not just the person next door. Your neighbor is any person God puts you in contact with. They are your neighbor. Rich, poor, young, old, black, white, yellow, thank you, Jesus. Red doesn't make any difference. They are your neighbor, and you will treat them as you would treat yourself. Are you seeing this? When we love God totally, we start loving people around us unconditionally. And he says, you can only get this by spending time with God. And not only being together here, and some of you, listen, being together here, but he says, it teaches you how to love God's people unconditionally, and even people who are not God's people unconditionally. Let me tell you something that concerned me before COVID even hit. So COVID just manifested even more. It was already there, so don't blame it on COVID. But the isolation of people who called themselves Christians. Isolation. Can I just say this to you, believers? Just take my word for it. Satan's primary tactic to start destroying any Jesus follower's faith is to start isolating you from the tribe. And he usually does it through offenses in your life first. It is usually the first thing he takes. But he starts taking your love from God, your relationship with the Lord, the simple things like reading the word. It's not important. We're spending more time with friends than we do with the Lord. God wants you to have friends. And we don't know, but it's slowly chipping away the relationship that God wants us to have. Now listen closely, isolation is dangerous, especially during this time. And now you add COVID on top of that. And so this is the reason why we have the online campus, is because we don't want anybody isolated. This is the reason I'm telling some of you, you're in different parts of the country and the world, join a small group. We have a family in Las Vegas that's in a small group that gets up at 5 a.m. just so he can be with the men's small group right here in our church in Las Vegas. I can't get some of our believers who live across the street to get involved in a small group. God bless you. You've been a great audience. Have a great day. Amen. God bless you. But it's serious. I'm serious. You start getting isolated. You start getting depressed. You start living in discouragement. You think everybody hates you. Then all of a sudden with isolation comes all these addictions, because there's something your soul cries out for. So now we got more people drinking. We getting people caught up in porn, because isolation is a tactic. They start pulling away from the church, pulling away from the family, pulling away from the small group, start pulling away from each other. Folks, I'm telling you, it is a setup. Don't buy into it. Enemy comes after you. You need to run to believers. You need to run to the small group. You need to run to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on. One of us shall put 1,000 to flight. Two of us shall put 10,000 to flight. A cord of three strands cannot be broken. Come on. It's time for you to knit yourself together all the more during this time. Too many Christians are acting like spiritual orphans. They say they're the children of God, but they've got no family relationship. And there are others that act like foster children. If they can't get along with somebody, they have a different view, different political view. You jump from church to church to church to church, home to home to home to home to home to home to home. Come on, he will grow you if you stay planted by the rivers of living water. Stay planted and let your roots grow down. How many know babies grow best in a family? You'll never take your own child and say, see you when you graduate from med school. God bless you. You're on your own, and throw them $100. Your kid will die. And so do spiritual babies. There's some of you brand new in Jesus, and nobody's picking on you. No one's trying to offend you, but they're helping you grow, because you're going to be a great, mighty man and mighty woman of God, and your family loves you. Come on, join arm in arm and grow in maturity. How do I love God? By putting God in my schedule all the time. Everybody say amen or oh me. Here's the next one. Number two, how do you love God? You can't command it. It's an act of your will. You love God through your speech. Not just your schedule, but what comes out of our mouths. Boy, isn't it amazing? Everything that's happening in the world and the culture happens because of somebody's mouth. I'm going to say it again. Wars have been started because of somebody's mouth. Homes are broken up because of somebody's mouth. Businesses fall apart because of somebody's mouth. Churches are destroyed because of somebody's mouth. I like what Joyce Meyer says. I'm saved, Lord. Just get my mouth saved. Amen. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Let's look at this again. Listen. Everybody say the word that for a moment. Say listen. Listen. O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands, instructions I'm giving you today. Now watch closely, verse 7. Repeat them. Repeat them again and again to your children. So when I hear the children, this is inferring to kids that are still under your authority. So I'm telling you that as you're younger, you need to be putting more in them, and stop waiting till they finally turn 15 and rebel on you, that you start calling the youth pastor and ask us to get them all straightened out. Young parents, get your kids started in relationships with people in the body of Christ now, because I'm going to tell you, just take my word for it, because I've already been there. There comes a time that they're going to hear you, but they're not listening to you. But if you put them in relationships with people within the body of Christ who are mature, they will listen to them while they're only just hearing you. And you better make sure you got the right relationships in there. How many know I'm preaching better than everybody's letting on? Okay? I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just telling you this is the reality to get people to love God and change cities and communities and families. This is it. Okay? Now listen to this. Repeat them again to your children. Talk to them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Here's the bottom line. With your marriage or your family, your children, make God a part of everyday conversations, especially with your kids. Listen. Now, can I just show you that listening to God first, but can I also tell you this? It's not about just us listening, but how many of you know that our teenagers and our children are listening to their parents more than they realize? You know that deal about more things are caught than taught? We really, listen, it's not just about us hearing God. It's what is my child hearing come out of my lips right now? So, if you want your son to be a real man of God that knows how to honor his wife, then don't let him listen to you make jokes about her looks, make jokes about her food, make jokes about her cooking. Don't let him ever hear you yell or scream or raise your voice at your spouse. Because if your son does that to his wife, he was listening to what you said, Dad. If you want your daughter to honor and respect God and her husband, then don't berate your husband in front of other women or your small group. Don't demean his job. Because when your daughter dishonors, it could have been because she was listening to you. Don't demean or speak down with harsh words. You can disagree with authorities. You can have a different opinion than authorities. But when you trash authorities, just like you might trash your spouse's authority, if your kids trash authority and they speak and demean, they were probably listening to us somewhere along the line. How you treat authorities, you can disagree. You can have strong disagreement. But how many know the way we speak about authority is where our kids get it too? When you speak about races, when you speak about someone who's poor, if your kids are doing it, it's because not just you're listening to God, but they're listening to what comes out of our mouths. Don't get so quiet in church, folks. It's all right. It's okay. Don't get nervous in the service. You're going to be okay. You'll survive this. But I'm serious. They're listening to us. Mom, don't make fun of somebody else's weight or the appearance of another girl and be a mean mom. Because your little girl will get it honest and she'll do the exact same thing. You didn't know I was going to go down that road, did you? Because it's what we're listening to. So what is he saying? He says, when you have your speech, keep your mind alert. Keep it alert on ways you can talk about God. And folks, bring Jesus, bring God into the conversation all the time. I know your kids are going to go, you always talk about God. You always talk about God. So that's exactly right. I'm always talking about, I'm going to repeat it again. I'm going to do it when I wake up in the morning, when I'm in my home, when I go to bed, when I rise up. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to apply the word of God to every single thing in my life. Because I love God more than I love you, motor scooter. I love God more than you. So I'm gonna bring God into everything. So do it. Include God in godly conversations and everything. When a movie comes out, the latest movie, apply the scripture to something that's in a movie. If there's something in the movie that's something absolutely vulgar or immoral, Dad, don't put that in front of your son. Say, son, I'm sorry. We're gonna have to go right past this and we're gonna change this movie. We're gonna have to fast forward this because let me tell you why. Here's what God's word says. Start teaching during those times. Teach during those times. When there's current events going on, don't stick your head in the sand. Talk. And your home is the best place to talk about it. Talk about the current events. Talk about the spirit of fear. I understand being careful, but when the spirit of fear starts taking over people, you need to tell your kids how to not be fearful, be careful, but not fearful against COVID-19. It's a real thing, but don't teach fear. When you see racism rise up and the race crisis, don't bury your head in the sand. Talk about the realities of racism. Talk about the honoring of races, because race is holy because it was created by God. It's a sacred thing. It's sacred. Don't be afraid. Bring that stuff. Bring God into that. When you go outdoors and you look, I'm going to tell you something. I was in the convertible the other day. I just need to get out and take a drive. I just saw a cornfield and I went crazy. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I took my hands off the wheel and just started praising God because of the beauty of a cornfield. And I started declaring, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Take your kids and show them the power of God in nature. When a thunderstorm, the power of God in nature, and that's the power of God in you. Bring God into everything. Teach your kids the Ten Commandments. Don't you really get miffed at people saying, we need to get the Ten Commandments back into public schools, because I'm telling you, that's the reason why things are going the way they are. Get the Ten Commandments. Could you tell us the Ten Commandments, please? Could you repeat them, please? Go next time they do it, just say, could you tell me the Ten Commandments? Because believers need to put up or shut up. We need the Ten Commandments back. Give me one. Don't kill nobody. And they're really easy to teach your kids. How many remember when I taught everybody the Ten Commandments? Come on, get them up. I remember it. One. There's only one God. Two gods are too many. Don't have any graven images. Don't worship anything else, not even your own kids. Remember three? Watch your words, W. Watch your words. Don't take God's name in vain. Remember that one? How about number four? Remember this little guy always sleeping? Remember? He's sleeping. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Take a rest. Remember this one? Honor your mother and your father. Right? Remember this one? Thou shalt not kill. Everybody remembers this one. Everybody remembers this one. There's only one man, one woman, one husband, one wife. Don't go out and commit adultery. It's a bed. Don't go in. All the young people are like this one. No, we're not going to do that. That's the only one some of you will ever remember, and it's a good one to remember. Remember this one, eight, prison bars? Steal and put you in jail. Thou shalt not steal. Remember nine? Remember that one? Don't get behind somebody's back and start bearing false witness, talking. See, that's the tongue just wagging, talking. Don't bear false witness. Remember 10? Greedy. Give me, don't covet. Teach your kids the top 10. That's it. Words are powerful. I got to bring this in for a landing, but words are powerful. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue, wars have been started. Division among races has started because you know what? Somebody's mouth. People leave churches because somebody's mouth. Wars have been started because of somebody's mouth. And that's why the proverb says life and death. The tongue can bring life, it can bring death, or it bring life. Come on, friends, how many know the life giver Jesus Christ lives in us? His word dwells in us continually. His spirit dwells in us, and we're going to be the bearers of speaking life into people. Come on, we're going to bring strength into people's lives. So you love God through your schedule. You love God through your speech. Here's the last thing. This is real easy. You really want to love God? Then love God through your submission to him. So what does that mean, Pastor? This is going to be real easy, short, to the point. You want to know what it is? Do you really want to know what to love God is? If you can't remember anything else and all you remembered was the adultery one. Here it is. 1 John 5:3. This is love for God. To obey his commands. That's love for God. Beyond what your parents say, beyond what your pastor says, beyond what any authority says. If I really love God, I'll just simply do what he says. Simply obey God every day and bring him into every single issue of his life and get under him and say, Lord, that is love for God. Just do his word. How many of y'all remember when you became a parent? How many of you first heard, we're pregnant? Hold your hand up. My knees got weak. I said, I don't know if I can do this. But did you know when you became a parent, did you notice that this sense of accountability came into your life that you never had before when you heard you're gonna have kids? Remember that? Some of us weren't even believers, Jesus followers at the time. And you know what you did? You stopped cussing because you didn't want your kid to cuss. Stop using a foul mouth. Something came over you. Some of you just stopped drinking. Say, I can't be drinking because I'm not going to teach my kid that. No. Some of you stopped running with the crowd. Man, just before you had kids, you were staying up till 3 and 4 in the morning playing video games and down in the dark basement with the pizza beside you, and that was the height of life. That was blessing to you. Then you discovered there's a new sense of accountability and responsibility that comes on me now that I've chosen, now that I know that this is happening. Well, can I tell you, there's a greater accountability that comes on Brenda and me besides our kids. And let me tell you what that accountability is. The accountability to God. And the reason we change is because of our love for God. So God's really like a parent. What are two things that parents really want? A parent wants just to be loved and obeyed. Loved and obeyed. And God's kind of like a parent. He says, Sam, if you really love me, you'll obey me. Now, I've seen kids obey, but not love. Because you can obey somebody and not love them. But it is impossible to love a parent without obeying them. It's impossible. And it's impossible to love God and not obey him. So he says, you want to know what love is? Here it is. Do you obey me because you think I'm God? So when you're offended, will you obey my word? In your dating life, will you obey my word? With your money, will you obey my word? In fear, will you obey my word? How many God lovers are in this room and say, God, give me the power to love you. To love God is simply to obey God, period. And you know how we know he loves us? 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16. That's a good one. He says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. And we in turn will lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters.